When I was younger, just a bad little kid, my mama noticed funny things I did.
Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet him, greet him, treat him, and street him. Today's date is October 9th, 2019, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is See a Dentist. I'm an emergency physician. And our guest skeptic is Dr. Hassan Sheikh. He is an emergency and addiction physician in downtown Toronto and a graduate student studying public policy at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government. He recently authored a position statement for the Canadian Association of Emergency Physicians calling for the expansion of publicly funded and publicly delivered dental care in Canada. Welcome to the SGEM, Hassan.
Thanks so much, Ken. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, this is an SGEM Extra, and it's a result of your recent CAPE position statement on dental care in Canada. Do you secretly want to be a dentist? Or what got you interested in this issue?
So actually, Ken, I got interested in this issue because I never wanted to be a dentist, and I still don't want to be a dentist. But as emergency room providers, we're trained to see patterns in our individual patients. And I started to see a pattern in our department. I continued to see the same type of patient presenting, someone in excruciating pain, pacing back and forth in the lower acuity zone of our department, holding their cheek. And when I would talk to them, it was always the same story. I knew they needed to see a dentist, and they knew they needed to see a dentist, but they came to the emergency department because they had nowhere else to go. And so that sparked this interest in me in trying to figure out, well, why do we treat oral health care so differently than the rest of our health?
So it sounds like you were inspired by patients suffering due to limited access to appropriate dental care. Before we dive into the details of this position statement, can you give me an elevator pitch, something that you could sort of summarize the executive summary in 30 seconds or so, the time it would take us to go from the first floor to the second floor? In other words, your elevator pitch.
Absolutely. I mean, right now, we have 6 million Canadians every year who avoid seeing a dentist because of cost. These are often some of the most vulnerable members of our communities. Children from low-income families, low-income adults, seniors, members of our Indigenous communities, and those with disabilities. And oral health is part of our overall health. We pride ourselves on our so-called universal healthcare system, but in reality, of all the dental care spending in Canada, only 5% of it is public. And that's about half of what is spent in the US publicly, where it's 10%. So what we need is pretty obvious and it's pretty clear. We need publicly funded and publicly delivered oral health care in Canada.
Well, how we treat our most vulnerable populations is a reflection on us as society, and I think we can do better. So talk to the SGEMers about oral health and its association with overall health.
So I remember back in medical school learning all these sort of associations and correlations between poor oral health and cardiovascular disease and diabetes and osteoporosis and having a low birth weight infant. But when I started digging into it, it's the causations that really shocked me. So there have been studies that have been done where treating periodontal disease in diabetics improves their blood sugar control as much as adding another oral diabetic medication. And providing oral health care in long-term care facilities reduces the rates of aspiration pneumonia. But I find the most fascinating one was a study that looked at providing comprehensive oral health care to those completing substance use disorder treatment programs. And it found that providing that oral health care improved the completion of substance use disorder treatment, improved employment, increased drug abstinence, and actually reduced homelessness.
Wow, that is really interesting looking at that. And it's almost tied into some of the things like the social determinants of health. And if you have good dental hygiene and good dental care and access to good dental care, you can have a significant impact downstream on overall health. That's pretty impressive. But I understand our current dental care system is inconsistent with the principles of the Canadian Health Act.
That's absolutely correct. The principles of the Canada Health Act is pretty clear: to protect, promote, and restore the physical and mental well-being of residents of Canada. and to facilitate reasonable access to health services without financial or other barriers. And if overall health includes your oral health, then it has to also be included in the Canada Health Act.
Well, the SGEM is a global podcast, and it is translated into four other languages. But can you describe the history of dental care in Canada?
For sure. I personally find the history completely fascinating for a Canadian context, but I actually think it's interesting for any context. Because ultimately, the story of dental care in Canada is a story about what happens when we make large assumptions about the nature of a problem, and when we make policies based on that, and then we don't ever look to see if our assumptions were correct. So Canada started fluoridating the water in around the 1950s, which happened to coincide with when we started our single-payer public health care system, which in Canada we call Medicare. And when we started fluoridating the water, that led to a sharp decline in dental caries. And it led to this false reassurance that the solutions to oral health care problems were going to be non-provider based. We began to think more and more of oral health care as a personal responsibility. You know, if you brush your teeth, your oral health will be fine. And if you don't, well, that's on you. And in the 1960s, economic incentives were created, which prompted employers to provide health benefits. And that shifted the responsibility even more from the government to private individuals and businesses. And so over time, we've continued to reduce our public investment in oral health. And that's how we ended up in the situation we're in right now.
So what is the situation right now in Canada with regards to dental care?
So right now, out of all dental care spending in Canada, only 5% of it is public. 51% of dental care spending is employer-based insurance, and 44% is out-of-pocket expenses. That means that for every Canadian, we only spend $24 publicly on dental care, compared to about $350 on drugs and about $1,000 per person on physician services. And this is why 6 million Canadians don't see a dentist every year because of cost.
I'm going to have to teach you how to put up your pinky to the corner of your mouth when you say millions, just like Dr. Evil. But how does the current system impact the individual?
Well, 6 million Canadians don't see a dentist because of cost. 1 in 5, or 20%, cite cost as the barrier of why they don't see a dentist. And that jumps to 40% for low-income Canadians. And there's a lot more people that delay seeing a dentist until they have absolutely no other options. For individuals who have struggles accessing dental care in Canada, it's not just about pain, and it's not just about the cosmetic appearance. In Ontario, 3.5% of people avoid social interactions, smiling and laughing, because of their poor oral health. And that increases to 8.5% for low-income individuals. To me, that's heartbreaking. Poor oral health affects people's mental health, their ability to get a job, to make a friend, to find a partner. And I think it's unacceptable that people don't have access to basic oral health care in this country.
Well, this is the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. And I don't want to get too focused looking inward on ourselves, but what are the consequences of this lack of access to appropriate dental care on the emergency department?
So I think we should absolutely be focused on the impacts on the emergency department. And the reason for that is that ultimately, if there is a failure of a public policy, it ends up on our doorstep. It ends up in our departments. So I think it's incumbent on us to not only diagnose the illnesses in our individual patients, but also the illnesses in our public policies that lead our patients to getting sick in the first place. Right now in Canada, approximately 1% of visits to the emergency department are for dental complaints. And the vast majority of those would be much better served seeing a dentist. By some estimates, in Ontario alone, these visits cost about $30 million a year. And I don't think they're doing very much to help patients. I mean, think about it. What do we do when we see these patients in the department? Our instincts are to try and find some way to help. You know, often we'll provide some information on low-cost dental clinics in the city. But then we start talking about, well, what can we prescribe? What can we do? We end up prescribing antibiotics that might not be particularly effective, have side effects. We prescribe anti-inflammatories, And sometimes we prescribe opioids. In fact, opioids are prescribed about 50% of the time for non-traumatic dental visits. And emergency physicians are 5 times more likely to provide a prescription for opiates for a dental complaint than a dentist is. We're in the middle of fighting an opioid crisis, and anything that increases our reliance on opioids, especially when there's a far better solution in seeing a dentist, I think that needs to be examined.
I think it needs to be examined too. And I often find myself approaching these patients with dental complaints, doing what you described, adequate pain control, plus or minus some antibiotics, and encouraging them to see a dentist. But recognizing that I'm not that best person to be seeing them in the first place, and there are significant barriers for them to get to see a dentist. However, we're the light in the house of medicine that doesn't go out. We're the 24/7, 365. So you can understand why these people come to us, because they need some care, and some care is better than no care in many instances. Are there any organizations out there supporting public dental care in Canada right now?
There are a number of organizations across the country that are supporting the push for public dental care. The Canadian Association of Public Health Dentistry, the Canadian Dental Hygienists Association, and the Canadian Dental Association are just 3 examples of national organizations that have supported improving access to oral health care. And a number of organizations across the country are pushing for the same. And I'm really proud that CAPE has joined that group of national organizations to provide its voice in pushing the national discussion for public dental care.
Well, before we get to the official CAPE position statement on dental care, what are the barriers? Why hasn't this been adopted? Do you have any ideas of why we aren't moving forward with a public dental system?
I think ultimately it comes down to the fact that we have historically seen dental care as something that is separate from the rest of our healthcare system. And I think that when we start to see oral health as part of our overall health, then we draw this logical conclusion that it needs to be part of our publicly funded and publicly delivered healthcare system.
All right, we've waited long enough. What is the official CAPE position on dental care?
The Canadian Association of Emergency Physicians believes that every Canadian should have affordable, timely, and equitable access to dental care.
Well, how does CAPE think this is going to be achieved?
CAPE believes that this is going to be achieved through 2 measures, public funding and public delivery of oral health care. Public funding, especially for our most vulnerable communities, children from low-income families, low-income adults, seniors, members of our Indigenous communities, and those with disabilities. These are individuals that are already having a hard time accessing care in our healthcare system. And that's why we also need to combine that with public delivery of care in the places that people are already accessing it, in community health centers, in Aboriginal health access centers, and in public health units.
That's it. That's all we've got for this SGEM Extra. Is there anything else that you'd like to say, Hassan?
I think that often, you know, we have these cases in the emergency department that really frustrate us. And I think those are the times to be skeptical about the system and think about, what are the different ways that we can provide care to fill those gaps? What are we missing? And so I would encourage every listener of this show to see those failures as actual opportunities in the emergency department.
Oh, I see what you did right there, throwing in the word skeptical. Love it. All right, well, we have to finish off the show. So can you give us the SGEM tagline?
Remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it here on The Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.
Talk to everyone next time. You'll be a dentist.